Ephesians chapter 4, and then I want to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and then a verse in Hebrews chapter 5, and we may turn one in 1 Peter chapter 2. But let's start out with Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and look with me, if you will, at verse number 15. He tells you over and over and over some things that you're a Christian supposed to do in verse 13, in verse 14, that we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and doing this and that. But it tells us to speak the truth in love in verse 15. Look what it said. But speaking the truth in love may what? What's them two words? Grow up. My, my. It tells us that we gotta grow up. Speak the truth in love. That's what all the young preachers have to learn. It's not enough to just speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. And just coat it with love, the love of God. I don't believe a preacher's supposed to preach on hell like he's glad people are going there. Amen? We ought to break our heart when we tell somebody that they're going to burn forever. But anyway, besides that, it said, grow up into Him and all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, probably the most carnal, worldly-minded church in the New Testament was the church of Corinth. I don't know why anybody would want to name their church Corinth Baptist, but I have heard of Corinth Baptist Church. Lordy mercy, I don't know why they want to do that. But in 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, what's that saying? That means there comes a time, fellas, when you put your marbles up. There comes a time when you just don't stay a little kid forever. And I know people, and you know people, that have been in church for 20 years and are nothing more than spiritual babies. And it's not supposed to be that way. That's why churches split. That's why preachers get run off. That's why problems come. That's why the church can't grow in many places. It's because the church is filled with big, overgrown babies that have never matured enough to get along with each other. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. Now, as soon as you get Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, flip on over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read one more even there. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Everybody got it? Hebrews 5 and verse 12, and then be getting 1 Peter 2. Hebrews 5, 12 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Excuse me. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use..." That's the only way to grow up in the Lord. By reason of use. Put it into practice. Witness. Pray. Work. Get out there and tell somebody else about what you've learned in here, and it'll make you grow. "Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There ain't nothing will take the place of taking what you hear in here and going out and trying to put it in practice and exercising your senses with it. It'll help you to discern good and evil. Verse 2, chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire," a newborn baby always desires milk, there ain't nothing wrong with him, "the sincere milk of the word, that ye may," what? "Grow, grow thereby." The Lord don't want us to stay little babies. The Lord don't want us to stay little. I'm preaching to you on Christians growing up. Most Christians stay babies their entire Christian life. And I'd like to ask you a question this evening. Our attendance is growing, but are our attenders growing? That's something we should be concerned about. And both of those are things. I'm concerned about the attendance growing. I'm also concerned about the attenders growing. No, if you get a great big room full of babies, boy, you really are going to have problems. Now, you've heard the old saying, you've heard the old saying, well, what's the matter with little Junior? I threw his ball against the wall, you know, and he stomped the floor, you know, and he grit his teeth and threw something at his mom, and somebody say, he'll grow out of it. But I've been waiting on some people to grow out of it for many, many years, and it just don't seem like they're making much progress. I want to tell you, brother, we ought to strive to grow in grace. You don't realize how much you've grown until you get out around somebody that don't know nothing. You, matter of fact, you get in church and you think, boy, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm no further than I was this time last year. But you run into somebody that's been out of church for a year and talk with them a little while and see how much further. We're all growing together and we don't realize how much we're growing. You know that? You ever notice that? You're like when you're in the second grade, third grade, and fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. You don't think you're getting any bigger until you see your aunt and uncle that ain't seen you in about two or three years. And they say, Lordy, look at that boy. He's a growing like a weed. They never did say that much about me, but they may have something about you. They said a mushroom or something like that. But I want to tell you what, brother, there's something wrong with somebody that never grows. If you're the same place tonight that you were spiritually 2 years ago, that something has stunted your spiritual growth, and you need some scriptural, spiritual, miracle growth dumped down on you. And brother, you need to grow in grace. You need to be more mature in God this year than you was last year, or the year before, or the year before that. So, tonight, I want to talk to you about Christians growing up. And the only way I know to can do this is compare us as an immature Christian. Now, you are an immature Christian tonight if you are any of these things that I'm going to mention. And all of these things are things that all of us are guilty of, I'm sure. But you haven't have children of my own. I've got three kids, as most of you know, I'm sure. And the reason I talk about them so much while I'm preaching is because a preacher says what's on his heart. And that's what's on my heart. I live with them. They're there. And boy, it just comes out. I get more sermon illustrations around my kids and mowing the grass than about anything. I don't know what it is about mowing the grass. Every time I'm mowing the grass, the Lord just talks to me and talks to me. I mean, yesterday I was cutting grass and I had my weed eater out. And I thought of all kinds of good illustrations. If I just had a sermon that they'd fit in. I mean, all kinds of good. I had the weed eater going like here, and I seen this frog. And he was jumping. He was hitting the building. He was trying to get away from me. But if you was up against a building like this, and there was somebody slinging a whip around you at 190 miles an hour, and it just sliced you right in two, and boy, he was jumping like this, trying to get away. I thought about how people are trying to get away from the wrath of God, you know, and stuff like that. I thought about the grass getting too high. I thought about having to mow over some of it twice, you know. I thought all kinds of good illustrations. I just ain't got no sermon to take fit in. I tell you what, brother, I think of them. And then when I'm around my kids, I think about all those kinds of illustration. And I want to give you several comparisons tonight to a little child, a little kid, and let's see if you see yourself in any of these. It might be that you need to grow up in the Lord. And the first thing I want to say that characterizes children, immature Christians too, is that children are impatient. You ever notice how impatient children are? They don't want to wait for anything. Boy, I tell you, we was over there shopping around a little bit the other day, and Carissa, bless her heart, you know what kids want to do? All they want to do is play. That's all they want to do. She said, Daddy, when we go on the rides? I said, honey, in a little bit. We had to look in this store, and we kidded her. We got to where we was kidding her. We said, honey, we're going to go in 15 more stores before we go to any rides. She said, no! And boy, she's about to die. She did not. Now we knew we was going to let them ride here in a little while, but children are very impatient. They don't want to wait. When they want something, they want it right then. You ever notice that? Boy, they just can't stand to wait. They just cannot stand to wait. I'll tell you, a lot of times Christians don't realize how that they're just like that. Many times we wonder why we pray something and it don't happen. And we go all to pieces. God, why ain't it happen? God, why don't you do that? God, why don't you do that? I'll tell you, brother, you need to mature a little bit and realize that God don't always give you everything you want right when you want it. Amen? It just don't work that way. The Christian life is a long process of growing, and the more you grow, the more you learn how to wait upon God. He'll give it to you. Just hold your horses. He knows what's best. He'll do the right thing. He'll work it out in His time. Just grow up a little bit and wait on God. You know, my last baby in the baby bed was Corey. And I rigged me up one of them little old things. You've heard, I've told you about this before. Rigged me up one of them little intercoms where I put it right there beside her bed. And she made a whimper. I could hear it in my room. And I turned that little thing on, set it up in my room. And all night long, boy, she turned over and made some whimpers. It'd wake me up and I could hear it. And once in a while she'd wake up when she was still on a bottle. And she'd just go, man, just scream bloody murder. And boy, I jump up like that and think, oh Lord, she's choking to death. Something got in the bed with her and bit her, a spider or a snake or something. And I thought, oh no. Then I thought, well, I believe I'll lay here a minute, see if she means business. And she cried there a little bit. Now a lot of times, you know, if you've raised kids, you know what it is. A lot of times you just leave them alone. They'll just cry out a time or two and they'll turn over and go right back to sleep. You know what I mean? All you mamas, you know what I mean? But I thought, well, maybe she'll go back to sleep. And sometimes she would. But other times she'd just go, rah, rah, rah. I'd take the pillow, put it over my head, say, God, let her go back to sleep. God, put her to sleep. Please, Lord, let her go back to sleep. She just keeps screaming and just keeps screaming. Finally, you know what she thought? She thought, I'm in this big old dark room. Daddy don't know where I'm at. Daddy can't hear me. Nobody's going to help me. I'm doomed in here forever and ever and ever. That's what she thought. But really, I heard every whimper she made. And I knew everything she said from up there in my room. She didn't see me. I could see her. She couldn't hear me, but I could hear her. And brother, I'll tell you, I'd go down there and I'd take that bottle and I'd get that bottle out. She wanted it right then. You can't give it to them right then. It's too cold. You got to put it in the microwave oven. And I put it on, you know. I said, wait a minute, honey. Wait a minute, honey. Just like this. Ah! Ah! Why won't he give it to me? He's mean to me. Daddy's not hearing my prayers. Daddy's not listening to me. I need that milk. I'm starving to death. Why won't he do it? I say, honey, I'm heating it up. It's coming. Just calm down. It's coming. Well, I'll tell you what, brother. I'd finally give it to her. And that's the way we are when we're immature on the Lord. We say, God, why don't you do it right now? And the Lord, He's heating it up. He's got it in the microwave. He's got the answer on the way. Just calm down. He ain't going to let you starve to death. God's going to take care of you. God's going to give you what you need. Brother, He's still on the throne. He's able. Thank God He's able. And He never has forgot one of His kids yet. I'll tell you what, I never would let my young'un lay down there and starve to death. And as sorry as I am, and God Almighty ain't going to let one of His either. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Our preacher used to tell us at Nebo, he said God had put the angels on half rations before He let one of His young'uns starve to death. So just calm down. Children are very impatient. You know that? Yeah, you know why they're impatient? What gives you patience? Tribulation, right? Reason kids are impatient, they had enough trouble. More trouble you got, the more patience you got. You blow your brains out once. You finally get patient. You finally learn how to wait. When you're little, a year seems like forever. When you get up my age, years start going by mighty fast. I tell you what, brother, listen, children are impatient. Children are impatient. If you find yourself saying, I want God to do this, and I want God to do that, and I want God to do the other, you need to realize that in time, in His time, in His way, God will do it. But secondly tonight, children are stingy. Children are stingy. You realize that? Just about every kid. Now, I'll tell you, my kids have been pretty good about that. Corey and Carissa get along most of the time real good. And bless her heart, Carissa is real good to Corey. She really is. She'll hug her and pat her. But once in a while, that old flesh starts coming out of them. And they had some little old thing. I don't know who bought them for them. Somebody in here today. And you caused trouble in my home today. And you bought them some little thing. thing looked like a tube. Little old chocolate things in there, all different colors. And they had them on the way home. And one of them grabbed them, the other and grabbed them. One of them grabbed them, the other and grabbed them. I said, all right, leave them alone. Carrie, get them. And then Carrie reached back out and get them, take them away from both of them. And one of them, neither one of them could have eat them all. But children are stingy. That's their nature. And I found out, brother, that they're like them two little kids sitting on that little pony that you put a quarter in. And they both couldn't get on it, and they were pushing each other like that. And one of them said, if one of us could get off of here, I could ride a whole lot better. That's the way kids are. Do you know that? Listen, brother, they want all the candy. They want all the donuts. They want all the Coke and chocolate cake. They want it all right then. And I found out that immature Christians are also stingy. They're stingy. You take somebody that don't ever want to give, won't give nothing to a missionary, won't help out like that. You know what the problem is? They're just immature. They need to grow up. What they don't realize is that when you give to God, you're the one that's going to be blessed. God's not trying to cheat you. Have you ever seen kids get a little money? Boy, they say, no, it's my money. No, it's my money. I know that reminds me of some Christians I know. No, this is my money. No, this is my money. Yeah, but what you don't understand is that God gave you that money. And God gave you that job of yours. And just as sure as He gives you the health and strength to work your job, He can take that health and strength away and you'll be broke or a convict. Do you know that? I'm telling you, brother, the longer you live, the more mature you get in Jesus, the more free and the more liberal you are in your giving. And brother, children, a mark of children are stingy. I've known some people, I've been at revivals. Matter of fact, I was in a revival not long ago. And the preacher said something about, well, we didn't take up no offering or something like that. And I didn't mean to say it, but when I was preaching, I said, Lord, have mercy, buddy. If taking up an offering kills the service, we didn't have much to start with. I've heard people say, we're not going to take up an offering. That'll kill the service. Son, it's done killed. If taking up an offering. God's people have always took up offering. God's people have always given. And if it bothers you when the preacher preaches about money, it means two things. Number one, you're guilty. You're feeling guilty because you're not giving what you're supposed to. And number two, you're a spiritual baby and you need to grow up a little bit, because if you did grow up, you'd realize how good God has been to you in letting you have a job and feel like giving. Amen? Buddy, you talk to Brother Donald Jackson out there in the hospital tonight, he'd give anything in the world to feel as good as you feel, sit there on those pews, brother, and be able to pull out a $20 bill and roll it up and put it in one of those little mission envelopes and put it in there and help some missionary preach the gospel on a foreign field. He'd give anything in the world to be able to do that. But some people, they're tight as a bark on a tree, brother. I told they sing through their nose, keep from wearing out their false teeth. They can't, I mean to tell you, they wouldn't give a dime. There's tight old skin flint. They're tight rod. And God wants you to grow up tonight. Children are stingy. Number three, children get their feelings hurt easily. If they are embarrassed or rebuked, you know, Corey does that a lot. She's not really, you know, she's not as extrovert as maybe her sister is. And sometimes come up to her and say, hey, little girl, you sure are cute. And boy, she'll look at him like, just turn her head right to the wall like she hates him. And she gets embarrassed real easy. And everybody says, she'll grow out of it. And they probably will. But I know some Christians that, well, let me give you some for examples. Well, up on an old building one time, there's a preacher come through, and he's a good preacher. And he preached, made an illustration about some old hairdo. And somebody had a hairdo like he was talking about and thought he was talking about them. And then won't come back to church no more. Another illustration. I don't know about giving these illustrations. I can give all kinds of good illustrations when I'm away from here. But Lordy mercy, everybody in this town's kin to each other. So Danny Castle told them all about you. He done everything but call your name down there. Saying, well, maybe I ought to just call her name. Reckon that'd help. But anyway, I've had people get up, get real offended. Well, Danny said that, and he knew
I'm the only person in the parking lot that had a blue car, and he got up and said something about these blue cars and all that. I knew he was talking to me, and I had no idea they was even here or what kind of car they had at all. They get their feelings hurt so easy. Lord in mercy. You know, I was telling somebody last night, I said, it's a miracle of God. Brother Paul Jam, me and him was talking. He and his wife took me out to eat, and we were talking about the nursery and some things. I said, it's a miracle of God. We've made it as good as we have in the Laodicean church age. Christians are so thin-skinned. The least little thing, they're offended. The least little thing hurts their feeling. I like that verse Brother Vince quoted a while ago. He said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You mark this crowd, it's always getting offended. Every service, somebody offends them. They didn't like the way that woman in the choir room looked at them. They walked by so-and-so in the hall, and they didn't speak to them. They got mad because so-and-so's baby said something to their baby in the nursery. You mark a Christian like that, all they need to do is grow up! Folks, you know good and well that you can't put this many people in a room 3 times a week and all of us get along with each other. There's going to be things that gripe you. There's going to be things that rub you the wrong way. All I can tell you is grow up, man. Face life. You little baby, you, quit whining around. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. I tell you, somebody's going to do something you don't like. Somebody's going to do something that hurts your feelings. Somebody's going to come to you ladies and they're going to tell you what one of the other ladies said about you, and it's going to hurt you real bad, and it's going to discourage you real bad. And then the devil say, well, just don't go back over there if that's the way they feel. But don't you realize that's a trick of the devil? Don't you realize? So what? What if one of them did say that? There's 195 sitting here that ain't said nothing and love you in the Lord. I wouldn't let one old long-tongued demon cheat me out of my church and what God wants me to have. Amen! Somebody told me not long ago, they said, Brother Danny, somebody don't like me. You reckon I should quit church? I said, Lord, no! It's your church! Hang in there! Serve God! Love the Lord! Grow up a little bit! My goodness, what if I quit every time somebody said something about me? Great day in the morning, folks, y'all. You don't have no idea. Don't get your feelings hurt. Say, and if you do, go on and do right anyhow. You'll get over it. Children get their feelings hurt real easy. You know, some Christians are like wheelbarrows. You have to push them. Some are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some of them are like kites. You have to keep a string on them or they'll fly away. Some of them are like footballs. You can't tell which way they'll bounce next. Some of them are like balloons, full of air and ready to blow up at any minute. But some of them are like a good watch, open face, pure gold, quietly busy, and full of good works. That's the way a grown-up Christian ought to act. We ought not to get our feelings hurt so easy. Boy, I tell you what, when I was in high school and we played basketball, buddy, if we messed up, we got blessed out at halftime. And you expected it. And buddy, we'd sit in there like that if we was behind or something, and our coach, he'd rake us over the coals. You know why? Because that's his job. That's what he's getting paid to do. And he'd say, boys, you look like a bunch of nuts out there. Get out there and do something! I mean, boy, he'd lay a sermon on us, and what if I'd have said, I don't like to be talked to like that. I'm not going back out for the second half. Listen, you can't be a ball player unless you can take some rough talk. You can't be a painter. You can't be an artist. You can't be a performer. You can't be a musician. You can't be a success in anything if you're not willing to take a few knocks once in a while. Amen? Now, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. You're going to get hurt real bad over something. I may have hurt you unknowingly. It is unknowingly. I promise you that. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just never have felt right about you since you said something to my little kid out there in the hall. No, I didn't mean to hurt the little brat. Really? Now, there's been times when I wish I had me a slingshot or something. Because there's one of them every now and then that I'd just beam real good. And sometimes older Christians get on you. Now, you can't. How many of you ever worked a public job? Everybody in here has worked a public job. Don't you know that people can get on your nerves? Even your friends can get on your nerves. You go and you've had a bad day. You've got a lot of things on your mind. Things ain't going good. And boy, somebody says, boy, you just want to turn around and sock them real good. That's normal. And Christians do the same thing. Boy, I'll tell you what, you're doing the very best you can. And here's Brother John, he's leading the choir. And he's saying, do better, do better, do better. And you're doing the best you can. Or you're like, you had a flat on the way to church. You're a Sunday school teacher, and you had a flat and like to run over somebody and kill them, and you come in with grease all over you and everything, like to kill yourself to get here, and Bruce waits on you at the door saying, why aren't you here on time?
You want to just go, hey boy.
Boom! But you don't do it, right? You don't learn to grow up, man. Grow up! Grow up! There's going to be times we rub each other wrong. There's going to be times we are, but we're all on the same team. We're fighting for the same cause, boy. We got to lock arm in arm. Just forget our differences. Just forget our, let the problem go. There is going to be problems. There is going to be things that hurt us. There is going to be things that hurt you. You are going to hear something about so-and-so who's singing in the choir and you heard they got drunk 2 weeks ago. Listen, brother, just learn to go on by the grace of God and grow up in the Lord. Don't get your feelings hurt so easy. I've had ladies tell me, they said, I've had it. I've tried to be involved with everything at the church, and every time somebody says something to me, I'll tell you, I'm just going to go from now on and just sit there and not speak to nobody and go back home and mind my own business. And the devil's back of life and his head off at you. The devil's going, I got her. Look at old Sarah Puss sitting over there. She ain't getting a blessing. She ain't being a blessing. She can't get nothing from God. She's just sitting over there with her feelings on her shoulder. She's sitting there over all humped up like a little hoot owl or something. She's just over there looking miserable, making everybody else miserable. And boy, when you look at her, you get miserable. And the devil laughs at you. Why don't you put that stuff behind you and say, glory to God, I've only got one life, and I'm going to get a blessing, and I'm going to enjoy what God does for me. If somebody else messes up, that's their little red wagon. They're between them and God. Don't get your feelings hurt so easy. Not only that, number six, number four, whatever it is. Four. I don't know why I make them Roman numerals. I can't read them hardly. Demand their own way. Because big-time preachers use them Roman numerals. That makes me feel like I'm good. Preacher. I'll just put 1, 2, 3, 4. Number four, demand their own way. They want to do what they want to do. Everything must go their way. Amen? They need to learn the golden rule. Seek another's wealth and all that stuff. They say, well, it's not fair that I have to do this and so-and-so, they don't have to do it. You people in the bus ministry, boy, when something don't go your way, what's the first thing the devil's going to say? Your brother Bruce, he moves you to another route or something like that. You think, good night, this ain't right. I don't believe God's in this. I don't believe it. The first thing the devil's going to say is quit. Ain't that right? Children demand their own way. You can tell a man's growing in grace when you know good and well he wants to do something. And we say, no, we're going to do this or that. And he just says, okay, let's do it. You can tell a man's growing in grace when he acts like that. That's why it's stupid. I mean, we ain't bowed on nothing since last August, I don't reckon, since we bought the store. But some churches bowed all the time. I don't know why they do that. But all you're doing is just opening up the door for trouble when you do that all the time. That's like when we built this building. Do you think I got up and said, how many want orange carpet? How many want blue carpet? How many... I just went and picked it out and ordered it and then said, how many likes it? That's the way to do. Now, I'm not trying to be a dictator, man. There ain't no way in the world you can please everybody in here. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Get a pulpit, a building committee, and have about half men and half women on and say, you go pick it up. You're going to have World War III. Y'all just let one person say, go buy it, and we'll all like it or not like it. Grow up a little bit. Grow up! Listen! Listen! We are in the work of God. This is the most important work in this world. Their souls going to heaven or hell depending on what we do right here in these rooms, depending on the spirit that flows through us, depending on the songs we sing, the message we preach, the spirit in here, it is more important than our little pet peeves and our feelings and our own little whims and prejudices like that. More important. Grow up! They demand their own way. A lot of times when somebody first gets saved, other Christians will jump on them and say, boy, you need to get a haircut. Boy, you need to do that. Boy, and really look down on them. Hey, man. You say, well, I tell you what, what's right's right for me, right for them. What's wrong for me, what's wrong. Yeah, that's true. But you didn't get it overnight neither. It took God a while to deal with you and you grow in grace. Take it easy on these people that just got saved. I believe they're like in the nursery, man. They can't just mature overnight. And a lot of times people, I was in a church one night, and there was two girls come to the altar, and they had pants on. You know, I think ladies ought to dress like y'all dress when you come here to church, and I don't make a big issue out of it and beat people over the head, but that's why, you know, if all you ladies just do it, other people come, they get the idea, and we don't have to cause a big stink over it. And there was two girls come to the altar and got saved. They had on pants, probably all they had to wear. And the preacher got up wanting to appear real spiritual in front of everybody. Right in front of the place was packed. He said, you girls get saved tonight? And they said, yes, sir. Boy, that is all under committee. And he said, all right, go home and get them britches off. And get you a dress and come back in here. That was one of the most ignorant things I've ever seen anybody do in church. That's about the dumbest thing. That's like going up here to the hospital and going in the nursery and their little baby saying, baby, why don't you straighten up? Get in that car and drive down the road out there. Go to the steakhouse and order me a steak. That's stupid, brother. That's ridiculous. Listen, you got people like that pastoring churches. Ain't got no more sense than that. It's no wonder churches in the shape they're in. I'll tell you what, brother. Listen. You say, well, I saw somebody come into church and they wasn't dressed properly. It offended me. Yeah, if you say anything to them, you're going to offend me. Amen. If a sinner comes in here, brother, and they got liquor on their breath or they got mud on their feet, you know what? You keep your mouth shut and you pray that God Almighty will get a hold of them and get a hold of their heart and God will change them. That's like that. That's why their church is as dead as 4 o'clock. They got 400,000 convictions and God ain't in 1,000,000 miles of them. Amen! I'm telling you tonight, brother, children demand their own way. Every little thing don't go just like they like it. Brother, they just get all bent out of shape. I got over that long time ago. It dawned on me that everything ain't gonna go like I like it. It won't go like I like it. My job is to do my best for God, and whatever anybody else does is their problem. Amen? Number five, children get all tore up over things they don't understand. They can't understand why mom and daddy won't let them do this. They won't let them do that. And they won't let them do this. And they won't let them do that. And sometimes you do God like that. God, why can't I do this? What's wrong with this? Why is this wrong? Why is that wrong? Oh, you just need to grow up. Krista, when she was real little, she wanted to play the pencil. Little bitty. I mean, just like 11, 13, 14 months old. And she'd always want to get a pencil. First thing I do with that pencil, start sticking it around her face. Boy, I'd take it away from her. And she thought I was mean. She thought I was cruel. She'd squall for that pencil. But you know why I took it away from her? I don't want her to stick herself. I know it'll hurt her. She thinks I'm being mean to her, but I'm doing it for her own good. Now, God, when He don't let you have something you want or do something you want to do, He's not trying to be mean. You may think, oh, if God loves me, why won't He let me have this and that? Because He knows what's best for you, and He wants to take anything away from you that you might hurt yourself with. You get all tore up over things they don't understand. Like I was telling you before, I've had to learn to do a lot of things just, you know, when the girls get sick. I mean, I know when you can't breathe, you need something, you need your nose unstopped. And I know when your throat's sore, you need something on your throat. And I know when I can feel them. I can tell when they got a temperature. Without a thermometer, I can tell just putting my hand on there if they're hot. And I know you give them Tylenol for that. And if that don't work in a day or two, you take them to the doctor. And I took one of them to the doctor, and I was telling you about, Lord have mercy, they say give them this 3 times a day and do this 3 times a day, and they don't want to do it. And boy, sometimes you have to just about, you hate to beat them when they're sick. And you say, take your medicine, honey. And And usually if they got that pink or they got yellow, they got purple, and they'll just say, I like my pink medicine. I don't like that other one. Man, I've given them nose drops and they hate them. I mean, they'd fight me, and I told you how I'd give them nose. How you get them nose drops to stay in there if they don't want them to stay? You know the way you get nose drops to stay in there? You squirt it, sniff like that, but they don't want them in there. I turn them upside down. I ain't kidding you. That's why I do it. You ask Carrie if I don't. I get a hold of her feet like this. And I'm just laying, ah! And I just go, get over here on the other side. And then I just shake them like that a little bit. And don't let them up till it runs up in there. How you tell me how to do it, brother. Tell me how. I don't know how. They say, put these drops in the nose 3 times a day. Say, honey, take your nose drops. Boy, they don't want to take them crazy things. And sometimes, I know they think I'm killing them. So I finally got to where I'd lay them on the bar, like this, you know, let their head hang off backwards like this. That works pretty good like that. Do you know God does us? Sometimes, has God ever grabbed you up and just crammed something down you that you didn't want? God, why is this happening? Ah, the Lord just cram it right down you, buddy. It might be that's medicine to help you get what you need to have. And God's not being mean. All they do is eat candy and drink Cokes and live off of them. If God let us, we'd just want to shout and have a big time, live it up, and never have anything bad happen to us, and all our bills paid, and our home life be great, and the church life be great. But God knows we can't live off just the candy. We got to have some medicine and some meat and some hard things go down us once in a while. Not only that, number 6, children can't handle responsibility. You know that? You wouldn't take a little old 3-year-old and say, all right, honey, get you a chair. Come over here. We're going to let you preach tonight. You wouldn't do that if you got any sense. Children can't handle responsibility. A lot of people say, well, how come I don't ever get to do nothing in the church? I don't know. You tell me. I wouldn't leave a machine running with a little kid running it. I wouldn't let a 4-year-old drive my car while I laid down and took a nap in the car. I might let her drive a little bit while I'm awake. Teach her how a little bit, you know. I let Krista drive up Hoppy Tom sometime, you know, and stuff like that, so she'll learn how to drive. Good. But I ain't going to let one drive, brother, and me go to sleep when they're 4 and 5 years old. I ain't going to do it. You got to grow. That's why the Bible said, when it's talking about a pastor, a bishop, it said not a novice. You know what a novice is? That's a young Christian. Somebody that hasn't been saved very long. A pastor cannot be a novice. That's a young Christian. Lest being lifted up with pride. See, first time God blesses, he gets a big head, and then the devil gets it. But after you've been through so much junk, man, you know when God blesses, it ain't because of you, it's in spite of you. And then you don't get the big head no more. That's right. When the Lord blesses here, y'all think, boy, I think I'll do it. Uh-uh. I go home and think, Lord, mercy. Think how good it'd have been if I hadn't tried to help. God don't bless because of me. God blesses in spite of me. That's why the Bible said for not to a novice, not to be a pastor. Number 7. Something. Kids don't like to eat what's good for them. I've done told you that. They want candy. They want the sweet stories, the fun part. But they don't like the shearing. They don't like the abstaining. They don't like the fasting. Boy, I remember when we used to take Chris to the doctor. Here's the nice doctor, honey. We're going to let him see you and look at your tongue. Hi, little girl. What's your name? Sheila. Boy, she'd look at him like she'd kill him. I mean, she'd look at me, boy, you're my worst enemy in this world. You're not my friend. That's the way children are. Carrie used to say when she was little, we'd say, honey, come to eat. Come to eat. She'd sit down, eat a bite, and say, eat! And she'd say, it takes too long. That's what she'd say. She didn't want to eat because she said it took too long. Isn't it amazing how you change? Remember how they used to have to make you eat when you was little? Ain't none of you look like you've been forced to eat lately. You've been doing it of your own free will and plenty of it. But I tell you what, when you're a baby, you don't like to eat.
But when you grow up, you learn. You know, when you're a baby Christian, you try to read the Bible, try to read the Bible, try to read the Bible, and you think, good night, this takes too long. But after you've been in there for a few years, you realize, let that thing soak in you, and eat what's good for you. Bread, milk, meat. Now, I eat a lot of stuff that I don't like. Sometimes I ain't crazy over green beans, but I make myself eat green beans because everybody says you're supposed to eat something green. And I like peas, and I can handle green beans, but stuff like broccoli and stuff like that, I cannot away with. I don't see why I like it. And but sometimes I make myself eat them because I know it's good. You know, there's some parts of the Word of God like that. There's some parts of the Bible that you just really don't like, but you make yourself read. I'm over there in 2 Chronicles right now, finishing up tomorrow morning, Lord willing, in 1 and 2 Chronicles. And some of that in 1 Chronicles I ain't crazy over reading. I don't shout when I read 3 pages of names. But I tell you what, it's God's Word and it's part of my diet and I need it to grow and I'm going to read it and I'm going to eat it by the grace of God. Okay? Last thing. Children don't like to take a bath. I used to hate taking a bath. Didn't you? Mom used to have to make us take a bath. Oh, boy, getting summertime reminds me of it. I'm going to close. They'll be getting a song ready in just a minute. I used to go out and play. You know how I played when I was little? And I'd always have on a pair of blue jeans and no shirt. Then wear no shirt all summer long. And, boy, we'd play out in the yard. Me and my sisters, we'd get out there in the grass. You ever just rolled in that grass with no shirt on? You know how it makes you itch. You remember that when you was little? I wouldn't do that for nothing now. Man, we used to do it all the time when I was little. That makes me sick to even think of it nowadays. Boy, we used to get out there and roll around in that grass. And our feet might be up there. We'd be playing barefooted in the summertime. And feet would have just dirt. Mom would say they're crusty. That's what she said. She said, your feet's crusty, Danny. Get in here. And that meant, buddy, they just had dirt caked around them, all around your ankles and everything. And boy, she'd say, you're taking a bath. I didn't want to take no bath. I was dead tired. I wanted to just get something to snack on and go hit the sack. And boy, you'd get in there in that bathtub and you would really feel better after all your back. Man, my back would itch right there rolling in that grass like that. But I tell you what, nowadays, if I went 4 or 5 days and didn't take no bath, boy, you'd start feeling yucky after a while, wouldn't you now? Now, buddy, we had a teacher at school. He used to walk in the room, and he'd go, soap's cheap and water's free. Use it. He used to always say that. And then he'd go on over to the desk, and he'd sit down. And boy, I'll tell you what, somebody in there was stinking like Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And I tell you what, I wonder how some of us smell tonight. You need, when you take a bath, what Mom always say? She'd say, wash behind your ears. You know, you wash behind them ears, you get dirt in there. I always hate to do that. I still don't like to wash in my ear. Can't stand it. You have to, you know, get water in there. She'd say, wash them ears out. Boy, you'd reach down in there and try to get all that dirt and all that junk and ticks and everything else to get on you. You'd try to get them off like that. And you know what? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You need to do that spiritually. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. You had to wash that around your eyes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Wash them feet. Get them between them toes. Toe jam! You ever know that? How many of you know what toe jam is? Amen. Old country folks here tonight. Wash between them toes, Danny! Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And I'm telling you, spiritually speaking, if you don't wash your eyes, if you don't wash your ears, if you don't wash your feet, you gotta be careful where you go. You gotta be careful what you look at. You gotta be careful what you listen to. And yet, if you don't keep yourself clean, take a bath! Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And then wash your hair, you know, wash your head. You got to rub your hair and scrub it and rub it and scrub it.
And that's your brain. That's your mind. Keep your mind right. Keep your mind clear. Take a bath regular. Take a bath. Well, maybe you sit here tonight and you say, well, Brother Danny, according to what you said, boy, I'm immature in a lot of ways. Well, I reckon we all are. But we're growing. We're growing. Our attendance is growing. I want to make sure our tenders are growing also. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Amen. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to sing a little bit. Might be somebody here tonight that'd say, preacher, God really spoke to my heart about something. And I need to get down there and pray about something tonight. Really, really I do. I need to get down there and pray about some things. You feel free to come. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Help us to determine in our hearts, Lord, not to be spiritual babies all our life, but help us to grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know there's probably many, many people here tonight who need to grow. I need to grow. We all do. Help us, Lord, to make whatever necessary changes and do what needs to be done in our life to make us grow. In Jesus' name, amen.